Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bors and the New Statesman's Stephen Bush. So the row in Westminster today has been over who would lead a government of national unity to prevent a no-deal Brexit if Boris Johnson lost a no-confidence vote. Katie, catch us up on what's been kicking off.
So I think we've seen Jeremy Corbyn attempt to get on the front foot today. You have had this recurring story, I think it might be the most frequent story of the summer recess, which is the talk of a national unity government. Now, before someone tells me, oh, this isn't national unity, it'd be a government of Remainers.
James is not here today.
Want to stop Brexit. Let's just presume I'm saying it in quote marks the entire time throughout this podcast. Now, when it comes to the government of national unity, the idea is you vote down a majority of MPs, vote down this government on the return from the summer recess, and they say they have no confidence in Boris Johnson. To do that, you need to have a handful of Tory MPs. If you manage to do that, in theory, you have 2 weeks to form a new government. Now, loads of figures inside number 10 say, well, you vote us down, we're not going anywhere. Boris Johnson would refuse to resign. That would mean that you couldn't actually form a new government. Now, I think that is an issue of continuing ongoing debate on the Constitution and where that would leave you. But say for a minute that that does happen, You would then have a national unity government emerge saying, let's show that we can command the confidence of the House. And this government's purpose would be to stop a no-deal Brexit by trying to extend Article 50, presumably quite swiftly take it to a general election. Perhaps, depending on who was there, they might try and go for a second referendum. I think that gets a lot harder to see what you're doing here, because we've seen time and time again the only thing that the House of Commons can actually agree on is what they don't like. They don't like no deal. They haven't managed to agree on really any positive action, and like by positive I mean a choice of doing something. Now, if you are going to have a government of national unity, who is going to lead it? You have had several names suggested. I think we've had Hilary Benn, Keir Starmer, I've heard at one point, Ken Clark quite recently. And Jeremy Corbyn a few weeks ago was criticised because both he and several frontbenchers said that they would not support a government of national unity if it didn't have him at the helm. And people said, well, this is another sign of Labour, you know, allowing a damaging Brexit to occur. Today, Jeremy Corbyn has written a letter to opposition leaders, to those MPs he thinks would be behind this project, to say, look, get behind me as a caretaker Prime Minister, and I will do the things you want, and this is our best way out. Now, I think it's quite clear that Jeremy Corbyn, barring a strange turn of events, is not going to command the majority of the House. We know there are MPs who have said they will never back Jeremy Corbyn. You look at Sylvia Herman. There are enough people who you need for a government of national unity to work, really, who don't like Jeremy Corbyn. But what he has successfully managed to do today is put pressure on Jo Swinson. Because quite quickly, the Liberal Democrat leader, who has made a very big thing about the fact that she, well, bollocks to Brexit, James is not here, but also doesn't like a no-deal Brexit specifically, has now said that she wouldn't back a government of national unity with Jeremy Corbyn at the helm.
This is what she said.
We may need an emergency government to resolve it. But if Jeremy Corbyn truly wants that to succeed, surely even he can see that he cannot lead it. There is no way he can unite rebel conservatives and independents to stop Boris Johnson. It's not even certain he would secure all the votes of Labour MPs. This isn't about personalities. This is about having a plan that actually works.
And I think this is a tricky one for Jo Swinson, because she has since been asked, well, wait a minute, what's worse, a no-deal Brexit or a government led by Jeremy Corbyn? And it's a question that she can't currently answer. And I think there could be some division in the ranks there.
Stephen, how has the Labour Party, how have other parties, how has the Liberal Democrats reacted to what's happened today, to Jo Swinson's just outright rejection?
Well, I mean, the thing is, right, she hasn't outright rejected it herself. What she said is, the prospect, you know, Corbyn saying, I'm happy to lead a caretaker government is no offer at all, right? It's like me saying, I'm happy to offer you my services as a plumber for free. I'm not a plumber, right? Corbyn cannot form a majority government. You know, there are 10 MPs who have left the Labour Party, such as their opposition to him being Prime Minister. They ain't going to vote for him. Sylvia Herman ain't going to vote for him because of his historical connections with the Republican movement in Northern Ireland. That means you would need 14 Conservative MPs to vote for this government. That quite literally, there is more chance of Remainers successfully crowdfunding the invention of time travel fixing the referendum result in 2016 through transporting stuffed ballot boxes back than there is of 14 Conservative MPs voting for a government led by Corbyn. The problem for any Liberal Democrat leader, and also let's not forget, right, the Liberal Democrat leader doesn't choose whether or not they back a government which includes parties other than the Liberal Democrats within it. That is a decision made by their federal executive and their membership. And their membership would not vote for a government led by either Corbyn or Johnson. So it's a little bit redundant. But what she said is, look, this is not a serious proposition. Her problem is her electoral coalition is built essentially on a group of voters who usually vote Conservative, don't like Boris Johnson. A group of voters who usually vote Labour, don't like Jeremy Corbyn. And this is the difficult bit, a group of Labour voters who would like to vote Labour, but know full well that they are in a constituency in which the choice is between Liberal and Conservative. And she has this problem, and for two of those groups of voters, the message needs to be, don't worry, I am not a vote by the back door for a Jeremy Corbyn government. But for that group of Labour voters who are only lending their votes to the Lib Dems at a local level, she needs to have a message which, while not undoing what she's saying to those other parts of her coalition, is not so actively hostile to Corbyn that those people won't lend their votes to the Liberal Democrats. And this is why the government of national unity, I mean, in many ways it's kind of like a sugar high for the Liberal Democrats. It was great fun for them last week when they could somehow pretend that, oh, if only Corbyn was willing to commit political harakiri by saying, yes, there are 11 people in this parliament who believe that I am an enemy of the West, that I myself have spread anti-Semitism, that I've been a friend with terrorists, and I think that these concerns are sufficiently legitimate that I'm willing to concede my constitutional right to have the go at forming a government after a vote of no confidence. Please vote for me in the coming election, right? They were having a great time beating him with that stick. Now the stick has been turned.
So why don't they continue doing that? Why doesn't Joe Swinson just call his bluff, say, okay, we'll talk with you, like what the SNP and what the Greens and Plaid Cymru have said, you know, and then it won't work out anyway.
I kind of think, in some ways, actually, they've just been a bit unfortunate in that usually the only way the Liberal Democrats insert themselves into the story is to be first, right? So the Liberal Democrats, yeah, so Jeremy Corbyn sends this letter under embargo, and the Liberal Democrats also send their response under the same immediate embargo. The problem they had, right, is although we know that there aren't the numbers for the the Conservative rebels aren't going to turn up. So what she actually said was, look, this is a false scenario. But because of the numerous Conservative MPs who this letter also went to, three of them replied saying, we'll meet with you to discuss stopping no deal. Mm. One of them went and then made it very clear that they did not mean actually voting for Jeremy Corbyn. And you don't need three, you need 14. So it doesn't matter anyway. But because the Liberal Democrats had already popped up, the story didn't become, as they hoped it would be, Conservatives condemn it, Lib Dems validated for having gone, come on, this is a nonsense idea. Because the Conservatives have condemned it, but in a kind of more sort of like open way. And also because, I don't know why it is, but there's this weird media dynamic that pro-Remain Conservatives get literally the easiest ride from the media. You know, then somehow Joe Swinson going, come on, this isn't going to happen. Everyone's like, oh, Joe Swinson's blocking it. Caroline Spelman going, it's important to work together to stop no deal, but I'm not putting that guy in Downing Street, is somehow covered as more reasonable. And that is why it's rebounded to the Lib Dems' disbenefit. The open question is, does it matter?
Does it matter, Katie?
But I think that if you want to pitch yourself as a party that is the party of Remain, you have to be careful if you look as though that you're actually not that committed to it. So I do think it's potentially damaging to Liberal Democrats. And I have noticed, obviously, don't go on everything by social media, but I have noticed not just Corbyn outriders, but others actually voicing some criticism of Joe Swinson for so quickly slapping it down. Ultimately, this is politics, and I don't think it's in the interest of Lib Dems to prop up Jeremy Corbyn in the House of Commons. But you could have probably gone the long way around this, which we saw with the Brexit Conservative Labour talks under Theresa May, when we had several weeks of, you know, the Labour front benches and Theresa May and her team going in for meetings, saying they were both very busy, both working in the public interest, but yet somehow not managing to come up with anything they could actually agree to. And I do wonder if perhaps Jo Swinson could have released...
Yeah.
Looked as though she was open to discussing certain things, only to then say, we disagree on too much. I'm too worried about the problems in terms of his views on these issues. I think it was a little bit quick, a little bit flippant.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Katie. And you can subscribe, rate and review through all the usual routes. And we have a special event coming up. It is the first of our Spectator Books podcast, Live, where Sam Leith will be talking to author Frank Dakota, who has recently written a book called How to Be a Dictator. So there's a handy one for you guys. It's on the 3rd of September in London, and you can get tickets and find out more information about it at spectator.co.uk/Frank. You do have to be a subscriber to come to this event though, but if you're not a subscriber yet, then why not subscribe? 12 issues for £12 and, you guessed it, a £20 Amazon voucher at spectator.co.uk/voucher. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow.